if things are bumpy, everyone goes to the hormones. It's the hormones are out of balance. And I want to put a pause there. And I want to say, okay, yes, you're right. Hormones are out of balance. I want you to back up. I want you to go down underneath it and go, why are the hormones out of balance? Because if you go to hormones are out of balance, let me take hormones. That will alleviate the stress that low hormones cause. Because when we're below our new normal low, it is stressful on the body.
Hi, and welcome to Beyond Empty Nest. I'm your host, Jody Silverman, speaker, mentor, and chief DARE officer at Moms Who DARE. Every Thursday, I'll share stories of midlife transformation, happiness tips, and dare you to see the opportunities waiting for you so that you can make this next chapter even better than the last. If you're ready to dare, I'm ready to dare with you. Let's get into today's episode. Hot flashes, interrupted sleep, weight gain, oh my, menopause, the big M. If you're like me and all other women I know, you've felt frustrated, stressed, and even angry about menopause, wondering, why is this happening to me? I know I've gotten caught up in the why it's happening to me, and yet, just maybe, there's a different perspective we haven't yet to think about. What I'm about to say may stun you, or even make you angry or have you wanting to log off or hit stop, but don't, because menopause is no joke. And if there was truly a different way to view it and support yourself through it, wouldn't it at least be worth the time to listen? I think it would. The new shift in thought and perspective that I'm going to invite you to embrace, even if just only for the next 30 minutes, is this. What if menopause wasn't happening to us? Rather, we flip the script and we think, huh, I wonder why this is happening for us. Well, how might this new perspective reduce your stress and even your anger around the changes that we're all experiencing as a result of the big M? My guest today is here to share this perspective and more with us, and a lot of valuable information to help us navigate this transition that affects almost all midlife women. She's known as the menopause midwife, Dr. Kari Schaefer, who's also a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine, nationally certified herbalist, author, speaker, and teacher. And she is the founder of the Menopause Midwife, a platform midwifing women through the menopause change. Her vision is to restore women with the empowerment lost in the current culture of this phase of life and help them find the optimal mental, spiritual, and physical balance she knows is possible. Welcome, Dr. Kari.
Wow, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm happy to have you back. So for those of you who don't know, Dr. Kari and I go back a few years. You were on my other show. We've done other collaborations together. And
we love each other.
Oh, yeah, we do. We're big fans. We're big fans. We have our cheerleading pom-poms in the background here cheering each other on. And I've always resonated and loved is your perspective on the big M, because I know in my circle, I make fun of it. My way of handling challenges and stress and anger is by making fun, but women are angry about it and they feel like hopeless. Like this is happening to me and I have no control over it. So we'll get into that in a minute, but share a little bit because, you know, you're a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and not everybody meets somebody like that. What led you down this path, eventually leading you to support women like this?
Yeah. So my first health challenge started when I was 17 and I was diagnosed incorrectly with something they called irritable bowel. Many women may have had that diagnosis. And basically at the time that meant we don't really know why your tummy's messed up, but we're going to call it this so we can send you on our way. And that means we're going to stop looking for problems. Right. And that was pretty standard, you know, medicine at the, you know, in that time frame. And that progressed into malnutrition. I managed my stomach issues by not eating that much. I was a model at the time, so I was thin, which was helpful, but that wasn't why I was doing it. Every time they make fun of models for being thin or say they have eating disorders, I'm like, yeah, they may have a digestive disorder. Anyway, and then literally at the age, by the time I was 32, I had a full health crash. So that was sort of the start of it. And then it just progressed. And at 32, I was actually in medical school. I went back to medical school at 28. And what I did was I looked around and I was like, I want to help people. I like Western labs, but they didn't help me, the standard. So what kind of medicine could put it all together? And that's why I ended up in the Chinese medical model. And then at 32, even in school, I had a full health crash. Walking 3 blocks, you know, was a challenge for me. Wake up every day in pain, depression, all kinds of female, you know, issues, all kinds of stuff. I was a mess. My journey, I'd go to, you know, see a medical doctor. They wouldn't help. I'd go to a natural doctor. They wouldn't help. I'd go to Chinese medicine. They didn't help. And so it was in that journey to get myself better that I sort of started understanding these bodies. And then at 45, I'd fallen in love. We were engaged. We were going to be married. And I had gained some weight. So now I'm 47, 48. And I gained some weight. I was always underweight, right? Because my body didn't absorb nutrients well, even though I was now eating more than I had been when I was little, young. Anyway, and it was recommended by a male, really brilliant healthcare provider that I go to this really drastic detox center. And he was going to teach at it. And he said, it'll be fun. You come, I'll teach and I'll, you know, I can help you with this little health thing you're having. And I was like, I don't know. I don't like those, but okay, maybe I'll do it. And I went. And it was such a drastic program that it put my body under such stress that I left and I had developed I developed anxiety and phobias. I couldn't get into elevators. I couldn't get onto airplanes. I couldn't go into parking garages. I couldn't get into the backseat of a two-door car. Like, it really impacted my life. And that's when I dove down the hole of like, what's going on? And actually, ironically, it was a patient who came in to see me who had been a client on and off for a while. And she said, Kari, I'm developing these really weird symptoms. And I said, what's that? And she said, I'm developing phobias. I can't get into cars. I can't go into parking garages. I can't get into elevators. I can't. And I'm sitting there going, this sounds familiar. And then she goes, I Googled it and it said that this could be perimenopause. Do you think this is perimenopause? And I was like, not that I've ever heard of. I had no idea because in school, they talked about the vaginal dryness. They talked about the night sweats. They talked about some moodiness. They talked about sleep, but never anything like this. So I had no idea. And my period was normal. And I thought, I was taught that the period being irregular was the first sign. Right. So I thought that that was the cause of I thought the cause of my symptoms was due to the detox. I didn't know it had anything to do with this change in life. So I dove down the rabbit hole and what I learned was pretty shocking. So it's what got me even more committed because I learned that what's being offered to women is really limited and a total denial of our phases, our naturally divinely designed phases of life, complete denial of it. And I had this one male doctor say to me, he'd asked me if I wanted to come to this talk and I didn't like the perspective the woman held of the talk. And I said, you know, I actually found her perspective offensive because it kind of said like, we're done postmenopause. No, ladies, we're not done postmenopause.
Right. No.
We're done postmenopause. And so I emailed him and I said, no, you know, I thought she was kind of offensive in her perspective and he emailed back and he said, well, you know, in some species, the woman dies after giving birth. And I was like, what?
How?
And I answered back, I may have said this on your last call, but I answered back.
You did.
Yeah. I answered back and said, black widow spiders eat their mate after copulating. So like, what does that have to do with human beings? Right. And so it really showed me that we were just lost and we were clueless about what was going on and why it was going on. And then through my own journey and watching women go through it, I really learned the rightness of this. And so that's what I now do is I go out to educate women about the rightness of it. And when it feels wrong, why? What we can do. So that's my story.
Oh, and it's a powerful story. And one that so many women are going to be like, oh my God, that was me. I didn't know that was me. And the one thing, you were the one. It was you, Dr. Kari, when we first spoke that it was what I never heard that phobias could be a direct result of perimenopause, menopause. And I have friends that all of a sudden wouldn't go in elevators or that would only take the stairs or you know, and I used to think like women are scared to drive on highways, women that used to drive everywhere. And I just thought it was because we got used to not doing it. And when you get older, you get scared. And I also remember having this anxiety over like just going. I'm a very independent person, but even just going into Philadelphia, it's my city. Alone, right. I would have this fear, and I didn't know what it was. Like, it wasn't fear of being attacked. It was like an irrational fear of like being that far from home, far from home. I didn't understand it. I thought there was something wrong with me. And it wasn't until after I spoke with you that I thought, I think that was during my perimenopausal phase that I never shared those anxieties with anybody, but it came to a height for me, that anxiety about being far from a hotel with my daughter. My daughter's like, Mom, what is wrong with you? Like, and I'm like, right. I don't know what's wrong with me. And I started crying.
A little mini almost agoraphobia. Like you want to be.
Yeah, like in front of my 18-year-old daughter, I started crying. I don't know what's wrong with me. I was ruining our day. And yet my daughter's like, Mom, it's okay. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. So it was you that I learned that from.
Oh, I'm so glad you're sharing that story. Yeah.
So
yeah, because what I also see is, I don't know if you notice, like in couples, women start to drive more than the man. And that's because what I found in my relationship is my perception of like the car brakes in front got heightened. And so I would see the brakes and it seemed like he was seeing them slower than me. And I'd be like, brake, brake, brake. And my husband like came up with this thing where I was allowed to just go, brake, 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 brake. So I knew that his brain saw, like he looked and saw, and that just enabled me not to have to, because I'd get this full shock of fear going through my body. And then I'd be like, ha! Ah! And then he'd get upset and it became this thing. So we had to learn how to navigate it, right? And as my body got calmer and balanced out, that dissipated. We also got a really big car that you can't go zipping around in anymore, which really helped too. Yeah, it really helped. We're not in a, you know, in a his little sports car anymore, so that helps. But the thing is, it can be a part of the thing for women. Absolutely. So, if I think about it, my stepmom started driving for my dad. Other women I know, they start driving the car. And if you think back why, it's because you get too nervous. Whereas before, I didn't have stress around my husband driving, right?
But I'm a nervous passenger. My husband says to me, when did this all start? And here I'm post-menopause, like I'm after menopause. So yeah, we can go on forever. So listen, ladies, if you're listening to this part, normal, you're normal, you're normal.
Right. You're normal. Yeah. And it means that something's a little bit out of balance and could use some loving support. But you want to remember that the most bumpy time generally is peri and just after peri while your body's trying to figure it out, because you're getting, ladies, an entirely new operating system. So that's one of the things that nobody explains to us. But it can be anytime. It's not just anytime a woman's body is under stress post-menopause, it affects our hormone production and it can affect things like our brain. So it's not, it tends to be the bumpiest during, but I've had 70-year-old women that were still hot flashing, you know? And so it's just that our operating system is different and we are affected by stress in a new way.
All right. So the takeaway here to Dr. Corey's story is we're all normal. Don't let anybody dismiss you. Phobia, I learned it. Phobias don't just come out of nowhere. There's a reason for it. Don't be dismissed. And with all that being said, I thank you for sharing. I forgot you were the one who taught me that.
I love
it. So, you know, you talk about it in the number one. We're going to dive right into the topic. And the topic here is, We have you, the menopause midwife, which I love that name, and you're going to help navigate us through menopause a little bit. And you already started with your stories, but what is the number one misunderstanding about this phase of a woman's life?
The number one misunderstanding is that it's a nothing. It doesn't have a purpose. So we have the child years, and our purpose in child years is, so biology, I talk about this, ladies, I talk about biology. From a biological perspective, biology wants to continue its survival, right? That's what life cares about. It cares about surviving and continuing its line. And so from a biological perspective, the child is the next generation, right? It's the continuation. And then we transition into our next role, which is the fertility years. And now our biological purpose and what we are supported to do biologically is to be the bringer forth of life, right? We bring life into the world, new life into the world. And we get hormones that do that. We have superpowers that do that. We have all kinds of stuff that help us be successful in this role. It is why we focus so much on other people, because we're literally designed to attract a mate, literally, like during ovulation, our face gets more symmetrical. Things happen physically to us to make us more attractive to a mate. Like literally, we are designed to do that. And then we are designed to carry a baby, and we have all the right hormones to do that. And then once the baby is in the world, we are designed, our brain literally functions to keep that child alive. That is biologically, we are supported in that role. Okay. Well, then menopause comes along. So why? What the heck? What are we doing? Well, in our culture, and I've never been one that's been sort of part of the whole patriarchal ideal. Since I was a young girl, I always was like, my principal came up to me when I was a young girl and he said, "Hey, you know, you shouldn't be playing football. You go play hopscotch. And then in high school, you can go cheer for the boys when they're playing football." And I looked at him like, "What universe are you from? Certainly not mine." Like, I was like, I had none of it. So it's never been part of my wheelhouse. Like, somehow I have to push against or fight. But I was recently reading a book about women. It's called Women in White Coats. And it's about the women that broke the barrier for women medical doctors. And it like rocked my world, because what these women had to go through to break that barrier was unbelievable. But even prior to that, it really talked about how during the witch hunt years, they were going about systematically destroying the wise women.
Yeah.
They were the midwives, the herbalists, anybody of power. That's who were being pointed out as witches and destroyed. And what came out of it is our culture lost the concept of that, right? Literally, these women, you know, however many years later, were having to like prove that they were capable. It was literally believed in our society that a woman was not capable of being a doctor because she wasn't smart enough.
Right.
Like she didn't. Well, so she's only have to come in and do better than all the men to even be able to sit in the classroom. They weren't allowed to be students. They would sit in the classroom and they would learn as a guest, right? And I mean, it was a profound awakening for me. And it was really a piece where I got like, I've been saying for a while that we've lost our concept of the wise woman, but I was like, oh, here it is.
Right.
And so the third phase of a woman's life has a different purpose. And because of that, our physiology changes. The hormones that are dominant in our body changes, the level of hormones change. This is all happening for us because we are literally biologically changing for this new role. And the new role is this wise woman role. Our role now in this biological purpose of life is to teach the younger generations how to survive. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you're doing like, you know, you and I, where we're out sort of public speaking in a bigger way, or if you're being a grandma and you're taking care of your grandchild, it doesn't matter the role, you know, how you're playing it out. You are in this role. And because it's such a big shift, and the more that I work with women through this process, I really, really believe that the bumpiness is a call into this role. Because if we continue the behaviors that we did in the past, which was make ourselves second, give to everybody else.
Yep.
We're not going to have time, space, and energy to distill our wisdom and to move from our wisdom. So it's almost like this weeding out process of who's going to step into this wise woman role. So when I say to women, when your body is bumpy, it's a call that something needs to shift to support you in this next phase, right?
I love that.
Because what happens is in the fertility years, our ovaries are making our hormones. We transitioned into the postmenopausal years. It's our adrenals, which are the hormones that help our body deal with stress. And we're so stressed out as a society these days, right? And particularly women. So now the ovaries had two jobs: to make the hormones and to store your eggs and release them. That was what your ovaries did. That's it. No. Your adrenals held a bunch of really, really important jobs. Now, one of which is making your sex hormones, which is as far as survival goes, low man on the totem pole. So if you're stressed out, if your body is stressed out, if you're doing what I call running in the red, that production of the hormones you need is going to go down and you need a lower level. They always talk about, well, it's due to lower hormones. There's a new low that's normal. You're not supposed to have those high hormones anymore. You're supposed to have a new normal. When you're below that new normal, now you've got perimenopausal syndrome or menopausal syndrome either way. And things are bumpy and it feels like hell and you're having phobias and, you know, the dryness and the crazies and the inflammation and all that kind of stuff. So it's common for women to have symptoms. It's not normal for them to have symptoms. It is common. It's like 80%
you know what?
Women.
Somebody else in women's health, a pelvic floor specialist, said the same thing about leaking, about urinary leaking. They said it's common.
Not normal.
But it's not normal. And it doesn't have to be your normal. Yeah. So the misunderstanding about this phase, I want to make sure that I articulate it right. I'm probably not going to articulate it right. The misunderstanding about this phase is that it's you're done. Like, this is it.
That's the difference. Yeah.
It's not done.
It's all downhill from here.
Right. And it's interesting. I love, because when we did talk a couple years ago, it was about the wise woman rising. And we likened it to empty nest. Empty nest is not, your life as a mom is not over. You're now emerging into that wise woman. So this third phase of your life, this menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, it's your wise woman rising. And it's happening for us to allow us to become that wise woman. We're not, so that we can then pass that along to the future generations. Did I get it?
Exactly. And if we stayed bleeding, we would have those hormones that kept us focusing on everybody else, do what everybody else, saying yes to everybody else. And we would never have the time, the space, and the energy to go in. And you'll watch this. Start watching your friends. I see it all the time now. Women will be like, you know, I used to say yes, and now I say no.
Yeah.
I call it the sacred no. We get back a no. We don't have to please everybody all the time. We get to say, like, no, it's not really how I want to spend my Sunday. I'm so, you know, sorry. I love you. We get to start to distill, like, is my job what I want to be doing, you know? And the beauty of it, this will happen for your moms who are in this transition, that the desire to only focus on our children, it does go down. And suddenly we're like, oh, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? My world doesn't have to be about my kids. And I was speaking on a group once and I said this and she goes, but Kari, I'm still focusing on my kids. She goes, the difference is I resent it. I go, yeah. And that just means you got to learn some better boundaries because you're not helping your 27-year-olds by solving all their problems. They have to learn to solve their own problems now, you know? And so that's not her still being driven to take care of her children. That's just bad boundaries. That's just, you know.
That's exactly.
Old pro says, if I don't continue to do this, they're not going to love me. Well, you know what? It's kind of part of their development to not like us for a while.
Oh,
a phase of their life. You know,
when they're really young preteens, they get to not like us because we're icky and we don't understand them completely because we've never been in their shoes and they don't want to know that we were teens. And when they're adults, it is. I love how you say that because a lot of the moms think that they're bad moms or how could I not be in their life? Well, you know what? Our role is to launch our children. Our role is now to become, and I say in this phase of life, we are their coach, their advisor. We are not the fixer of all things. I interviewed a woman, she's a parenting coach. And it's like, how many of you, and I say that, and I got a room full of laughs, she's right. But how many of you have told your 25, 26, 30-year-old son or daughter, yeah, don't forget to bring your coat because it's cold? Like, seriously? Seriously? Or like, and I still tell my kids, drive safe. They're like, yeah, like, okay, I'm going to drive reckless. I'm like, you know what? You're right. But I'm not going to tell my kids to wear a coat.
and quite truthfully, let them not bring the coat and get cold because guess what? Next time, they're going to remember to bring the coat.
You're right. It's this check. So, you know, I love that. I like that it happens for us because it now moves us to the wise woman, to out of the caretaking role, which is okay. We're not meant to be. And in
it's done okay. It's divinely designed, ladies. It's
divinely designed.
The way it was all put together.
Like, you're fighting against what is natural now. Like, it was natural to be the nurturer. It's natural to be the caretaker. And it's natural to let it go and now take care of you and be empowering and wise to yourself and have those boundaries. I love that.
Yeah. And then what we start to tend to do is we start to look out. It's not that we become selfish and we don't want to give, but we give in different ways. Some people want to give through creating art. Some people want to give through volunteering or creating a foundation or doing what you're doing, educating. Yeah. We start to want to give in a broader way to the community because our role now is to assure the survival. And if you look around our life and our world, it's really missing this wise word role, right?
I love that. I love that perspective. And everybody who listens to me, everybody who follows me, my Moms Through Dare group and my members know I'm all about shifting perspective. There's always a different way to view something, a better way, a more positive way. It's not ignoring the negative. It's not ignoring the body changes. Find somebody like you who can help balance the hormones and get us feeling okay. But understand that's not happening to you, it's happening for you. And you can get the right help, which in our show notes, will be all the links on how people can work with you because you help women through this phase, through this physical, real physical challenge, the challenges.
And because you're changing your whole physical operating system, right? And so I'd love us to have a second to talk about that. But where are you going to go?
Well, I was going to say, so what can women do, which will lead into it. So what are your suggestions, including what you do, to support themselves during this time?
Yeah. So the most important thing for us to understand is we're changing operating systems, right? Our hormones are getting made in different locations than they were, the bulk of them. And that can be bumpy for some bodies. But the really important thing that I want women to write this down, ladies, is if things are bumpy, everyone goes to the hormones. It's the hormones are out of balance. And I want to put a pause there. And I want to say, okay, yes, you're right. Hormones are out of balance. I want you to back up. I want you to go down underneath it and go, why are the hormones out of balance? Because if you go to hormones are out of balance, let me take hormones, that will alleviate the stress that low hormones cause. Because when we're below our new normal low, it is stressful on the body.
Right.
Got it.
Okay.
But why are the adrenals not making, in conjunction with our body fat, why are they not making enough hormones? There's a reason. And the reason for that is stress on the system. When we are utilizing more resources than we have in a day, I call it living in the red, ladies. You think you know about spending too much money. When we're utilizing it, we are in a stress state. That stress state is interfering with our hormone production. That's the issue. We've got to get the body out of that stress state. And there's two kinds of stress. One that I call, I mean, there's men, but what I talk about is external stress, which is how we respond to our external environment, which, by the way, ladies, is an internal job, and internal stress, which is things in our body that are out of balance that are causing stress in our system. Like when you were starting to notice those phobias, you probably didn't have obvious external stress going on, but you're like, what's going on?
No,
something
I didn't
in the
know
body. Something in the body was out of balance. And so our goal is to get the body back in balance, okay? So the number one thing we want to do, it's across the board, and then I'm going to tell you some easy things at home to start doing, is decrease the overall stress level. So that might mean not scheduling so many things in our external world, right? It might mean not saying yes to as many things, saying no. But it also might include things like, please don't intermittent fast during this phase of life. It's one of the most taxing things on the adrenals. If anybody knows what I'm talking about, a 14-10 is fine. 10 hours eating, 14 not is fine. But beyond that, you're adding stress. Eat 3 meals a day.
Okay.
So it's not about calories, but if we're overeating, we'll gain weight. And so figure out how many calories your body needs. Figure out exact kind of what that looks like. And then divide that into 3. We can't eat 1 meal and have all our calories in 1 meal, you'll gain weight. And that's one of the big pain points for women. So 3 meals a day, taking those overall general calories that you need. Nobody's talking about micromanaging calories here, but just getting educated and splitting into 3 and then figuring out what it looks like to eat that amount of food in a balanced way. Okay, so that's number one. Why? Every time your blood sugar drops, your adrenals have to go online to create stress hormones. It aggravates that anxiety we're talking about, those phobias we're talking about, and those stress hormones then interrupt the production of your sex hormones. Does that make sense?
Yes. So reduce stress, 3 meals a day.
3 meals a day is the number one way to reduce stress on the body.
Okay. Go ahead.
That's the number one way to reduce stress on the body. The other really important way to reduce stress on the body is to start a daily practice. And ladies, I'm not talking about hours meditating. I'm talking 10, 15 minutes. There have been studies that show 15 minutes of breathing, just sitting and deeply breathing a day is better for hot flashes than hormones. Why? Why would that be? Because it's dropping your stress level. So a daily practice, start your morning off with quiet time, get an app, I use a song called the Devi Prayer. It's 20 minutes. I sit down, I close my eyes, I play that, I breathe, and I find my center and my ground. I use
the 10-minute daily calm.
Yep. Right, exactly.
Okay.
I start my day there. Now right. I'm starting from ground zero instead of from here. Many women in their imbalance wake up with high cortisol levels. And when you do that, you're already anxious and like, huh, if you're waking up like that, you have high cortisol, you got to bring that cortisol level down. So that's another super, super important one. And then the other important one is sleep hygiene. So that, you know, they tell us we have to turn off our electronics at night and it's so annoying, but it actually is true.
Yeah.
Because we're not getting our sleep. We're staying the less melatonin we make, less sleep, less melatonin. It affects our immune system. It predisposes to cancer, all kinds of terrible things. But the clincher is more stress hormones are produced. They are inversely related. So more stress hormones, less melatonin, more stress hormones, right? And so we want to set up the atmosphere for good sleep, a darkened room. I wear an eye thing that I love. And, you know, it took me a while to find mine. So if you guys want, I'll share with you, but I wear an eye thing. I, you know, dark room, no electronics in the room. And I make sure before bed, I read rather than watch electronics, things like that. Super important to, you know, no having the phone on in your room, unless you're like a daughter of an elderly parent, or, you know what I mean? There's some reason. Yeah. And if you have to have it in the room, have it across the room so you're not getting that zapped in your brain all night. Super important things. Those are like three simple things that if we adopt them, they lower our systemic stress. Now, if you're doing those things and you're like, I am still like, if I say to you on a scale of 1 to 10, how stressed are you? And you're like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. there's nothing in your life that you can point it to, or there is, but maybe it's not. Then there's internal stress, latent infections. Ladies, hot flashes, the number one cause I find.
Stress.
Latent bladder infections.
Yeah.
The incontinence. I had a woman recently. She was about to get married and she was having so much incontinence that she was peeing herself. And our goal was that she just wouldn't wet herself at her wedding. Because the incontinence pants weren't going to fit, weren't going to fit. Oh. Anyway, so okay, she had an immune challenge. We got rid of that and she got married and she didn't wet herself, right?
So well, I have to tell you, there's so much, and I'm going to have you back because there's so much. And, you know, to talk about, there's so much around this. I mean, we could sit for 4 hours and still not cover everything. So, but I think the big takeaways that you really did share is that how this could be happening for us and the phobias are going to be big with it. There's so much. So here's the thing though, ladies, Dr. Kari, without you knowing it, she just gave you your dare for the episode. Your dare is to dare to start with the reduction of your stress. And she gave you 3 ways to do it. Choose one to start with. We always talk about this show, the daring is all about the baby steps. So will you meal plan and break up your calories and your meals into 3 healthy, well-balanced meals a day? Will you adopt a practice in the morning to just settle your system down for quiet and set you up? And what kind of sleep hygiene, what kind of changes can you make and shifts can you make before you go to sleep so that you lay down and you have a restful sleep? But those that you dare to start, you know, reducing your stress. I think you call it, you know, self-care of your operating system. And these are the three ways you can start right now with the stress. And it's so important, ladies. And it's important because you hear everybody talking about it. And that's the reason why. So yeah. Dr. Kari, thank you for being a guest on Beyond Emptiness. Thank you for sharing all your wisdom. You truly are a wise woman rising. And and I appreciate you. And as everybody knows, the purpose of every one of these episodes is for you to take one thing away. Learn one thing from every single speaker that has ever been on Beyond Emptiness, and your life will change in ways that you never imagined, in all positive forward directions. So what was it during this conversation with Dr. Kari that was your moment where you're like, oh, like when I first heard phobias, my mind, it was like mind-blowing. What was it for you? Let us know. Leave a review. Send me a message. I'll make sure to relay it to Dr. Kari. Connect with her with the links in the show notes. And don't forget that next week, we'll be back with another episode of Beyond Empty Nest. And as I always say, dare on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Beyond Empty Nest. Head over to jodysilverman.com for full show notes, more information, and additional resources. Speaking of additional resources, I've got a great one for you in the show notes below. So if you've enjoyed today's show and are ready to embrace this midlife chapter, then you're going to want to grab our featured resource called the Self-Talk Cleanup Challenge. May not think so, but to quote our friend Oprah, the one thing I know for sure is that negative self-talk and thoughts are what's keeping you stuck in fear and lacking confidence to take the leaps in midlife that you desire to take. When you grab this resource, you'll receive the exact exercise my first coach took me through. It's simple, yet powerful. In addition, I'll send you a few other tools and tricks to help you knock out the negativity when it shows up, thereby increasing your confidence and your overall happiness, allowing you to have fulfillment and fun in midlife. You deserve it. So go ahead and grab your copy of the Self-Talk Cleanup Challenge, and I'll see you next Thursday. Until then, dare on.